Today we read from the Gospel of Luke, the story of Mary's trip to visit her sister Elizabeth after she has discovered that she is pregnant. There is something wondrous and intimate about sisters who are pregnant at the same time. In this reading, we are invited in to that wonder. It leads Mary to give voice to a song of praise to God in anticipation of a great and radical change of fortune for her people. This young woman has powerful ideas about what is in the heart of God for her people. Reading from Luke chapter 1, verses 39 to 55. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham, and to his descendants forever." Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God.
The prophet is always in the minority, in some instances a minority of one. What a prophet hears sets him or her apart from the rest of us and makes the label eccentric quite appropriate. And here is the different truth that the eccentric Mary has heard. The truth an octave higher, that God is indeed merciful and God's mercy will be known in this way. That the natural order of precedence and rank in this world is turning upside down. That is, the eccentric mercy of God, the eccentric truth, the weirdness that Mary has heard and then sings about, the proud scattered, the mighty dethroned, and the humble lifted, the hungry filled, and the rich sent away empty, which is, if you are Mary and Elizabeth and their family, good news. Mary is often characterized as this sweet, humble, blessed virgin who didn't have a whole lot to say and whose thoughts and convictions were not so much important as the fact that she bore the Messiah. Her body was the important thing in the mix. But you got to read your Bible, because that's not what the Bible says. Mary was a young woman of substance, a prophet, and an eccentric. All you have to do is listen to her song. Mary sings the dream of a big change brought about by God, a change in the common order, an uncommon, miraculous one, a change perceptible by eccentrics, oddballs like John the Baptist, prophets, and those who hear an octave higher. Last week, we began the season of Advent, and I invited you to listen carefully to the song which God has the power to awaken in us. A song awakens, to wake us up to the powerful and tender activity of God in our hearts, in our minds, in our communities, in our world. And today, in our gospel reading, Mary and it goes to see Elizabeth, her sister, and they contemplate these children that they are carrying and the world that these children will be born into. Young Jewish peasant girls living under the brutal thumb of the Roman Empire. And the kind of song that awakens in Mary, the song that she heard an octave higher than the rest, is not a lullaby. It's not the jingle of bells. It's not even an angel choir, sweet and clear. No, this is a song of social revolution. It's a song of tables turning, of the mighty brought low, the poor, the lowly lifted, hungry fed, and given her and her sister's position in the social and political geography of her world. That is quite the reversal. But on this day, when we light the candle of peace, it can feel like it may not fit. Peace and a song of revolution. Sounds kind of disruptive, actually. An eccentric vision in a world in which peace is won by victory, by conquering. Remember, she grew up under Pax Romana, Roman peace. And Roman peace was a very particular kind of peace that we have managed to continue down the generations. Peace won by victory and enforced by squelching dissent. That's Pax Romana. Peace, the absence of war and the squashing of disagreement. Political peace, won at the expense of people like Mary and Elizabeth and their children. But on the higher frequency of Mary, that kind of peace is replaced by a peace that's founded on the radical reordering of society. Reordering of relationships, personal, economic, social. And for some, that doesn't sound very peaceful, certainly for the 1%. That's not a very peaceful vision. But for the 60, 70%, it's good news. And for Mary and Elizabeth and their family and for their unborn children, they had tuned into a song of peace with that foundation not based on conquering, but on justice. And in our world and our time, peace, well, it may seem still like an eccentric vision on the 26th anniversary of the Montreal Massacre, when violence was rooted in the fear of people like Mary speaking up, taking their place. And in a world in which the prevailing climate of fear of organizations like ISIS, where violence can pop up anywhere, when millions seek asylum from violence, the instinct is to enforce peace, to build walls, to send out the troops, not to reorder our relationships, which is the song of Mary. You see, as we approach the big day, celebrate the birth of the dreamed about, sung about one, are we able to tune our hearts to kind of turn off the rhetoric of conquer and open up to the tune that the beginning sounds of an eccentric, different vision of the reordering of our relationships? A higher frequency, that of the prophets and eccentrics? Are we able to do that? So that we too can perceive the miraculous shifts of power and a peace founded not on violence, but founded on justice. Well, that's the next step in this journey. That's what we try to tune into, a minority song, the song of the eccentric one. And while the vast majority eat Cheerios and codfish and Christmas cake and cantaloupe, and there's at least one who eats only potatoes. And while the vast majority comb their hair and wear matching socks, there's at least one with flyaway hair and blue and purple argyle on one foot and multicolored toe socks on the other. And there is at least one, Mary. I'm guessing that there's more than one eccentric in this crowd of followers, who knows that though the odds are stacked against their dreams coming true, they still hold on to that eccentric dream. And perhaps there's an eccentric bone in your body, hearing an octave higher and knowing that the light is coming into the world. The great reversal is taking place, if not immediately evident, awakening in our hearing and in our hearts. Because as another eccentric put it, that Roman Catholic eccentric Daniel Berrigan, we stand on the brink of the unknown, which is to say that things are normal and good and permissive of joy, and I would say, and peace. Amen.